I really want to get into the Word this morning. I believe I have a Word that is exactly what God is saying to us. It's what He's been saying to us and what He's trying to sow into us to the degree that it produces faith of heart. To not only know what the Word is saying, but let it become experiential, where you're actually living out the Word. It's not enough, right, to be a hearer only. But we must be doers of the Word. And the Word has to become more than just, you know, memorization. More than just the ability to debate the Bible. If our theology doesn't lead to a God encounter, then it's in vain. The Word is given so that we may know Him, the living Word. And this is eternal life, that we may know Him, the only true God. That we may know Him and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. Now, the title of this morning's message is Overcoming the Slave Mentality. Overcoming the Slave Mentality. And in Exodus chapter 12, verse 41, "And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt." Now, Israel had been in Egyptian bondage for 430 years. Now, none of us know what it's like to be, you know, born and raised. Well, maybe not in this context, where all you've known throughout your life is slavery and being under a heavy-handed oppression, being told what to do, when to do it, when to get up, when to go to bed, when to eat. And so they all came out of Egypt, and they knew nothing about what it was to be free. They were used to this life, and so they didn't have the option to pursue a career when they were in slavery. And so what had to happen is, even though they had been brought out of that place of bondage, they had to be renewed in their thinking. They needed to learn to hear the voice of God. They needed to know what God said about them. They needed to understand their identity. And by hearing from God, they would find their life in Him. Now, I thought about the North Korean people, who also, they've been living under this bubble all their lives. Many of them have never known what it's like to be outside of that oppressive regime. And so the government, likewise, it tells them what to do, what not to do, what to think. They're slaves to the dictates of that government. And this North Korean government, as most of us are aware of, they work very hard in keeping the people blind to what's happening outside of the bubble they live in, for the purpose of controlling the population, of manipulating them and causing them to believe the lie so that they can continue to hold them captive to do their will. And isn't that just the way the devil is? He wants to control. He wants to manipulate. He wants to intimidate, to hold you captive so that you will not walk in the liberty that the Lord has made available to you. So what you don't know, most of us have heard this, can hurt you. We need the knowledge of God. Would you agree? We need to be in the book. We need to know what God has to say. If you and I, as believers, don't understand what true freedom is, then we also will live in bondage as a slave. And so the enemy is constantly trying to keep us, even the people of God, who, like Israel, had been brought out of bondage by the mighty hand of God, and yet, at the same time, keep us imprisoned in our minds to the old patterns, the old ways. So God wants to remove the veil from our eyes, and He does that through the light of His Word. The entrance of his word brings light. It brings revelation. So the same thing is true for many who have spent years incarcerated. Many years in jail, you know, in prison. And they find it hard to adjust to life outside of the system because they're so used to living again in that controlled environment. They're told, you know, when to eat, when the lights are out, when to get up. Everything is controlled. And sometimes, let's face it, folks, we get used to something. And sometimes we even get used to living in bondage and just resolve to live there. Yeah. Instead of fighting to be free, we just give in to it. Oh, I prayed a few times, nothing happened, so it must be just the way it's supposed to be. Satan is working very hard, even on God's people, the ones who have been delivered by, amen, the blood of the Lamb, to keep us ignorant, first of all, to who we are and what is freely given to us in Christ. Even though we may be forgiven and delivered out of bondage, the enemy knows if he can keep us from believing this truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, right? And the truth shall set you free. So the enemy's trying to keep us from knowing what is true, what is real. And he wants us to believe his lies. And he wants especially to keep you and I from walking in the liberty of Christ because we're dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. When we're free and we know who we are and we know who the devil is, but we know who God is. And we know that he's greater, that he's bigger. And that he has authorized us to go in his name. Amen. He has commissioned us to go in his name and destroy the works of the devil. He doesn't want you to know that. He wants you to continue to live in a slave mentality of what was. So he's good at reminding us of the past, you know. Accusing the brethren. Trying to keep you thinking about, oh, what if I had done this instead? How many have had the regrets? We've all, most of us, can look back and say, boy, I really regret doing that. Aren't you glad that God doesn't leave you in regret? He's a God of new beginnings. He's the God of the new day. Hallelujah. We don't have to live, folks, on the other side of the cross. You know what I'm talking about? Where we're constantly coming back and trying to get resaved again. God's saying, I've already set you free. What are you doing? It's time for you to get beyond this and start walking in the new life, walking in the resurrection power of Jesus. And if you mess up, you have an advocate with the Father. Thank God. What the enemy wants to keep you bogged down in the regrets of the past and the mistakes that you've made. And he tries to bombard you to the point where you start believing that God has not accepted you. He wants you to not believe that you're actually free in Christ. You see, it's according to our understanding. It's not enough to hear the word, but we have to understand that this is a reality. I am actually free from sin. I'm free from the bondage of sin in Christ. Christ has set me free. Oh, the enemy says you're not free. But the Word of God says I'm free. Who are we going to listen to? So listen to the word of the Lord through Moses to Israel in Exodus chapter 19. This is just to give you a little context. It was the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt. On the same day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. In Exodus 19, verse 4, the Lord said this, and this is profound. He says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. What was Moses doing? He was reminding them that they had already been delivered out of Egypt. How many know that it's important for us to remember what the Lord has done in our lives? It's not that important to remember all the regrets and the problems and the things that we've had. Amen. And the times when we weren't listening to God, and those things sometimes are there to remind us so we don't repeat the same folly. But we should not dwell on those things. We should be dwelling on what the Lord has done. We should be thinking about the goodness of God in our lives. We should be looking at the cup as being half full and not half empty. Because God actually doesn't want your cup to be half full anyways. He wants that cup to be what? Overflowing. And so he said, listen, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. What is he saying? He's saying, you didn't have anything to do with it. I did it. Has God done anything good for you? Has he wrought deliverance in your life? Has he saved you? Who did it? They didn't set themselves free, right? God did it. And so Deuteronomy 26, verse 8 speaks to this. It says, so the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. Now, the blessings of God are conditional upon our hearing and our obedience. See, God's trying to deliver his people out of the slave mentality. And because if you're thinking that you're a slave, you're going to live as a slave. If you believe that you're a slave to sin, you will continue to live in sin. People that struggle with sin are people who don't understand what God has done. I'm not saying we don't make mistakes. I'm saying that our lives are never to be categorized as sinful because we have been set free through the blood of Christ. And so we've got to change our thinking. We've got to know what God has done and what he has declared over our lives, that you're free. You're free. You saw what I did to your enemies, how I drowned them in the sea, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, amen. And I brought you to myself. Thank God that he has opened up our eyes to the degree that we knew that we needed him. That we needed to call on him. That we needed to trust not in what we did, but in what he's already done. In the grace of God. Just like Israel, you and I have all been slaves to sin. But that's no longer the case if you're in Christ today. And the question really is, and the first question we need to ask ourselves is, am I in Christ? Do you have that witness in you? Do you know that you're a child of God? How many know that's one of the most important questions you can ask? I'm going to know it's not a good idea to play Russian roulette with your soul. And to guess about it, you better know it. Make sure your heart is right with God. And Romans 6:17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, that had been brought to you. And verse 18, and having been set free from sin, having been set free from sin, having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. What form of doctrine is he talking about? He's talking about the gospel of grace. It's by his outstretched hand that we're liberated. Now, Paul talks about this in Galatians a little bit in chapter 4, in verse 1. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Now, this picture is of a wealthy father who has every intention of turning over the control of his wealth to this son when he reaches maturity. How many know it's not a good idea to give children too much responsibility too quickly? How many know there is a time, there's a process, amen, for everything in our lives? You don't want to give your little kid the car keys, right? You first have to, they have to grow to a certain place in their lives, and then there has to be some instruction, there has to be some training, there has to be some discipline in their lives. So as long as this heir, he's speaking of this, is a child, he says, even though he is an heir of the kingdom, his status is still like that of a slave. So he's continually told what to do and what not to do by the people in charge of him. Have you ever watched any shows where they speak of royalty and how they're actually mentoring children when they're young to know how to walk, how to conduct themselves, how to speak correctly? That's what they do in England. They teach them etiquette. They're under very strict scrutiny and also under tight discipline. They're being told, because usually the king and the queen are very busy about kingdom business, but they're set under guardians and stewards, and they're told, they're taught how to be a prince or to be a princess, and from an early age. Now, they are not the king and the queen. Even though they're heirs of the throne, they're being prepared for what eventually will be theirs. Likewise, the law was given to Israel for a season. And they were taught what to do, what not to do, under very tight scrutiny. There was very little room. In fact, there was no room, absolute no room for error under the law. Once you broke the law, you're guilty of all. Are you with me? And so we need to understand that what Christ has done is he came and he fulfilled the requirements of this law because he was sinless, because he obeyed the instructions of his father to fulfill all that had been written about him up to that point in his life and to the point where he went to the cross on our behalf. Because we were born in sin, so in the fullness of time, God sent his son. And verse 3, it says in Galatians 4:3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. This is talking about living out of works. See, there's many people that have the right heart. They want to serve God. They want to please God. They want to do everything that God requires of them. And so out of their own efforts, out of their own willpower, they strive to work and to earn hopefully enough credit, never really knowing where that waterline is, except if we go and judge ourselves by the law, we are all condemned by the law. Come on. Where is that waterline? Where is good enough? When are you good enough? You see, religion has people in bondage to trying to achieve something that's impossible. They keep, you know, salvation, Christian churches, salvation's always on a stick. They're always grasping for, and yet never quite knowing what's already happened. Are you with me? You cannot live under law and under grace simultaneously. When you come in Christ, when you are born of Christ, when he comes to dwell within you, God takes and writes that law on our hearts. And we have a relationship with God, and we know that we don't do things that grieve people we love. And when you grieve the Spirit, you know it. And yes, we do come to him and say, Father, I've sinned, please forgive me. And because you're a son and not a slave, I forgive you, son. The price has already been paid. The blood is on the altar on your behalf. Just come home. Don't run away from God. Sometimes, folks, we've been guilty of putting people under such oppression, even in the churches, and in performance mentality, that when they mess up, they run away from God. And they run away from the people because they come into places where they're judged by everybody. And even the very ones that are judging them themselves are self-condemned. If the truth be known, they're asking the same question, am I good enough yet? God understood that none of us were going to be good enough. There's none good. There's none righteous. God leveled the playing field. He said, this is the way in, my son, through the blood of the covenant. My son and I came to an agreement. You guys kept breaking the laws, kept breaking the rules, kept breaking the covenants. So my son and I have an everlasting covenant together. If you come by way of the blood, you'll enter into life. And once you step into life, then there needs to be a renewing process of your mind. You need to be weaned off the slave mentality. And how many know we need to be patient with one another in this process? Come on. We kick people to the curb the first time they mess up. We don't do it here, but it happens too often. You need to understand that babes are going to make mistakes. Amen? Teenagers are going to get cocky. They're going to get proud, spiritually proud. They go through that phase, you know, where they don't know what they're talking about. I'm the expert here. You got to grow up. I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now. But it's the gospel of God's grace. Remember, it's mercy that God didn't give us what we deserved. But it's grace, whereas God gave us what we didn't deserve to. He gave us His grace. And so He said this, listen, verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. You see, the Jews were like children being ordered around by the law, just like slaves. But in Christ, they came into sonship. Now, the awesome thing is this, is that you and I also have the opportunity to come into sonship. Once we come into sonship, we still are going to have to go through a process of renewing, a process of changing the way we think. Why? Through the Word of God, through the washing of the Word, through the revelation of God's truth. If you don't know what's real, you'll fall for the lie. Even God's people, He said, even my people perish. It was Hosea 4:6, for lack of knowledge. So we need to understand what God has actually accomplished for us already. And the thing is this, is that when we step into the grace of God, He teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Why? Because that's not who we are. That's not my identity. Why would I live below who I am? That was what was. That was the old man. The old man was crucified with Christ. Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ in me. In the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave Himself for me. It's not of me. It's of Him. My life is in Him. My hope is in Him. Christ in you is the hope of glory. In Christ. In verse 6, He says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a son. And not a slave. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We're kingdom people. We're citizens of heaven. So before God could bring men into sonship, the price for sin had to be paid. Jesus, thank God, paid that price for us. So as long as we were slaves to sin under the old, are you with me? We could not be sons. So there, you're either a slave to sin or a son of God. And when we say sons, we mean daughters as well. Sons and daughters. Amen? So you're either a slave of sin or you're a son or daughter of God. You're either in Adam. In Adam all die, or you're in Christ. In Christ all shall be made alive. When we are water baptized, we're baptized what? Into the death of Jesus. We're identifying ourselves with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. What we're saying is I'm testifying publicly to what God has done internally. This is a work of grace in my heart. This is what's actually happened. I am now considering myself or reckoning myself dead to sin, dead to the old man, dead to Adam, but alive unto God in Christ. I'm no longer a slave. I'm a son. But as a son, I need to be weaned off, if you will, the slave mentality. I need to change the way I'm thinking. I need to be washed in the revelation of God. That's why God said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. God wanted his people, Israel, to listen to his voice, to hear his word, to know who they were. That he said, if you obey me, you'll be a special people in all the earth. I'll bless you. How many like God's blessings? How many know it comes by hearing his voice and doing what he says? It's not necessarily a question of identity as much as it is a question of, are we now listening to our Father? Are we good sons and daughters? Are we obedient sons and daughters? So everyone who is born of God is a son and immediately brought into the inheritance as an heir. We need to understand something, folks. We don't need to covet anything in this world. You want to know why? It's already ours. Our Father owns it all. And are we not heirs in Christ? And your Father's a good Father. He gives good gifts unto his kids. But the most important thing that we can receive from him is of his Spirit. Amen. His presence. He gives us himself. And when you are finding contentment, when you're finding your completion in him and not in what you do, you enter into a place called rest. And so Paul was talking about the rest is really finding that place of contentment in the Spirit. He was a man that was incarcerated. He went through a lot, man, more than any of us here. And yet he said, I've learned in every state I'm in to be content. He was able to tap into the eternal resources of God's grace, of his presence. And even with joy, you shall draw waters from the well of Yeshua, right? I want to remind us that as long as we think like a slave, we will live as a slave. If you're struggling with addiction, you have to change your mind about it. Isn't it true? I'm no longer subject to it. I've been set free. God has already delivered me out of Egypt, and he drowned the Egyptians in the sea. They've been cut off. Their power has been cut off. See, we've got to get renewed in our thinking. Quit thinking like the slave that we used to be, because in Christ you're no longer that slave. The old man has actually been put to death. Why resurrect it? Walk in the new life, the new man. I'm free. See, it's through the truth that you enter into freedom. It's by the revelation of what God says. You'll know what's true. You'll know what's true about you. You'll know what's true about what God has already done for you. And when you come to that understanding in your heart, it sets you free. No longer am I going to believe the lie that I can't overcome this sin. Because God is greater than all of our sin. His grace abounds. Amen? Where there's iniquity, his grace abounds even more. It's greater. Believe what God says. Believe in your God. Believe in God's ability to break every chain. God wants every yoke destroyed. Amen? Every yoke of oppression, He wants it off His people. He wants that slave mentality out. He wants us to walk as sons and daughters. Walking in the life. Amen? Walking in His light. You've seen what I did to the Egyptians. How I bore you on eagle's wings, and I brought you to myself. I saw a video a while back, kind of cute, but it was of a dog who was scratching at what appeared to be a glass door. And he was scratching away. You know how dogs would try to get out your door? If you have a screen door or something, they're just scratching away at it. And then all of a sudden, a child came up from behind the dog and jumped right through the door. There was no glass. But the dog was so used to having that glass there that the dog could only scratch at what used to be and not realize that the glass was removed and he could go through. Do you see it? Sometimes that's what we're like. We're living out of what was, not realizing that that bondage has already been broken in Christ. Amen. We think we can't, but God says, well, just take a step and you'll see you can. Step through. The door is open. It's been removed. Another example I used a while back was, you know, fleas in a jar. If you put fleas in a jar and you put the lid on there, those fleas will just, you know, they'll just bounce their heads off the ceiling of that jar a few times. And then finally they smarten up and say, well, I better quit doing that. It's giving me a headache. And then after a while, you can take the cap off. And guess what? Those fleas ain't going anywhere. The cap's off, but they're still inside that jar just spinning around. Do you see it? It's another example of if we don't understand what's already taken place, what God has already done for us, then we will live out of what was and not move into what is now, which is freedom, where you can come up through the ceiling and fly with Christ. Amen? Man, we got to get up with the eagles and quit being the chickens waddling around in the mess. We got to change. We got to get over that chicken mentality, because God says, you're one of mine. And I set my perch high above it all. Come, rise up with me on wings as eagles. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. God delivered Israel out of Egypt. But in their minds, they still thought like slaves. And they needed to learn how to walk in their newfound freedom. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're discovering. We're discovering how to walk in our newfound freedom. We're being, what's the word, cultured. We're being mentored by the Holy Spirit. He's teaching us how to walk, how to talk. Amen. Our conversation changes as citizens of heaven. At least it's supposed to. If you're in Christ, it will. Maybe not overnight, but God will start working in different areas of your life. And we got to be patient in the process. Understand that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. We're in a battle of truth. And you know what? The devil hates what I'm speaking about. He doesn't want God's people to know this. He wants to keep us in bondage. He wants to keep us thinking like a slave, even though we've actually been set free by Christ. It's according to your faith that will be unto you. It's according to the measure that you and I believe God's word that it will be given to us. Are you hearing that? This is really a walk of faith. It's believing God. It's believing what God says, what God has done, that Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. Now we're free to run this race with endurance set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. 1 Peter 1:18 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, the way the Jews were used to living. But he says, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We have already been rescued, amen, from world conformity and from slavery. Because the payment has been made. Jesus bought us, purchased us. We're his people. We're God's kids. We're sons and not slaves. You need to tell yourself that. What am I doing? I'm not a slave. I'm a son. Take authority over that devil. You see, if you believe you're a son, if you believe that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, that's how you will live. Brother Larry said, and I keep repeating this, he said, keep on believing it until you believe it. Paul said that. He said, I kept believing it until I believed it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Stay in the word. Keep listening. Amen. Listening to the message preached. Reading the word. Absorbing the word. Begin to declare, decree the word over your life. Begin to speak what God is speaking. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Don't speak death, speak life. Don't curse, bless. You will create an atmosphere of heaven or hell depending on what you want to say. Even what you want to believe, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I'm glad today to be free. In 1 Corinthians 6:20 it says, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. My body, my spirit belongs to who? God. And he says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Why? Because we can. We can glorify God. Why? Because God told us we could. Because you can now. Why? Because you're not a slave, but you're a son. Now, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're listening to this and say, that just doesn't seem to click with me. It doesn't seem to work for me. Or maybe you've never really actually been set free from the power of sin. You know, sometimes I think people have false conversions too. When you really are in Christ, when you step into Christ and Christ comes into you, there's something that takes place in your heart. Is a circumcision, a separation that takes place. Yes. Where you do, in Christ, have power. Amen? As sons. Over sin. Therefore, if I'm not a son, then I'm still a slave to sin. So the question we need to ask, and I just want to ask you to bow your head right now and ask that question. Am I a son? Am I a daughter? Or am I still a slave to sin? I just can't seem to overcome. It may be you just need to change your mind. You just need to renew your mind. You just need to change the way you're thinking. Did you come to Jesus? Did you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Jesus said, if you come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. Do you believe that Jesus receives you based upon the authority of what he promised? If he promised to never leave you or forsake you, who am I to doubt what God said? Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you that you are renewing us in the spirit of our minds, that you're transforming our thinking, that you're moving us on, Lord, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Lord, we thank you that you've begun a good work in us. We thank you today, Lord, that by faith in Christ, we are now sons and daughters. We thank you for your promise, Lord, that to as many as receive you, to them you gave the authority to become the sons of God. Father, help us to live and understand and operate out of that identity, Lord, as sons. And Lord, that we will put to death the slave mentality. We'll starve it out. We won't give it any more attention, any more time. You said, whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Yes. We believe what you say, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.